Welcome to your first committee hearing on the Senate side, and it is, what's the date? It's the 13th?
January 13th,
2005, and it's your first Senate Committee on Rules. I would like to welcome our committee members, Senator Atkinson, who was here on time, Senator Ringo, and Senator Shields, also who were on time. We're waiting for our Vice Chair, Senator Farioli, and I assume he will show up quickly. I would like to introduce our fabulous staff, Patricia Nielsen, who went to law school at Lewis and Clark College and graduated in 1985 with yours truly. Right? Is that right? You graduated in me? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. And on our left, Tiffany Harris, our committee administrator, is a two-year associate from Schwabe Williamson and Wyatt. They've graciously agreed to let us have her for the legislative session, and we are extremely grateful to that law firm and the other law firms that are doing that for the legislative session. It's of huge importance to us. So, do we have a committee plan? We don't really have a committee plan yet, but I can tell you generally Senate Rules will be working on elections and initiative reform. We will be doing executive appointments, and I anticipate we'll also be sort of the cleanup committee, so to speak. Welcome, Senator Farioli. We're just delighted to have you here this morning.
It's such a pleasure.
Cell phones, we would ask that you turn them off. I'm not going to collect a fund because you are all such pros. I would anticipate we wouldn't be able to collect very much money during the legislative session, so I won't bother. The sign-up sheets are by the door, and for the first few weeks, we'll probably be meeting on Tuesdays only, and probably towards the end of the session, we'll be meeting all the time. So adjust your schedules accordingly. Are there any questions? Any comments from the peanut gallery?
Should be fun.
Should be fun. Okay, we're going to try and make it fun. We have proposed Senate committee rules. Have you all had an opportunity to review them? Can I get a motion? Senator Atkinson.
The rules are they're the exact same as the traditional rules we operated under last year.
Yes, with one exception, and that would be rule number 5 that talks about Senate Rule 8.15, which requires that public notice be given 48 hours in advance.
What were we on last time, 24?
24 hours, yes.
Do, when the Senate President... These things are hot.
Goes to...
when the Senate President switches us to 24-hour, what?
You mean to 1 hour?
Or to 1 hour?
Yes. It would be the same as the way it was last session. When we move to 1 hour notice, we will all be under 1 hour notice.
Okay. I move the rules.
Sarah Atkinson has moved approval of the Senate rules. Is there any discussion? Any questions? Any opposition? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Yay. All right. In terms of our agenda today, we have an executive appointment, a concurrent resolution, and a couple of bill introductions. Let's go ahead and consider executive appointments. I'm going to open a hearing and work session on the governor's appointment to the Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Planning Council and ask that Senator Joan Dukes come forward. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Good morning.
Would you please state your name for the record and tell us why you want this position?
Well, I feel like saying my current name is. I'm Joan Dukes. I'm a state senator from District 16. I represent the northwest corner of Oregon on the Columbia River. Excuse me. Why do I want this job? I thought about that, and I thought about a lot of different answers to that. It is a fantastic opportunity for me to be one of the folks who helps to shape the energy and natural resource policy on the Columbia River for Oregon and for all of the four Columbia River, Snake River states. But it's more than that. I've worked on fishery issues for 22-plus years. It depends on whether you go back to when I clipped fish fins or not. And with Senator Farioli, I serve on the council on Legislative Council on River Governance, and they deal with Columbia River issues, and we spent, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 years looking at regionalization of Bonneville and getting pretty grounded in electric issues, power issues in the Northwest. And I also, when Senator Durfler was president of the Senate, I think that was when he started the Public Affairs Committee and asked me to vice chair that, and we worked on the deregulation. So the issues are things that I've dealt with for a long time. Now I get to move up to the next level and work with them there. And I don't mean to sound like a Pollyanna, but I've always believed that there were solutions to the issues. A lot of people have been tired of the fighting that's gone on within the region over water, over fish, over energy. And I've always believed that if you bring everybody to the table and you sit down and talk and everyone is willing to give a little, that you can find solutions. So to me, this is just really an exciting opportunity.
Great. Thank you. Questions for Senator Dukes?
I have a list of questions for Senator.
Good. Senator Farioli, fire away.
Thank you so much. First of all, Madam Chairman, I need to tell you that I am very gratified and pleased that Senator Duke's been nominated for this position. I've seen her work on the Salmon Committee, her earnest desire to see good public policy come out of this body. She's worked really hard to try to represent her interests and the interests of her constituents and to take a broader view. And this is a big challenge she's about to undertake. I need, for the record, to get some idea about how she intends to balance the multiple uses of the Columbia River. And I ask because many of my constituents depend on the Columbia River for hydropower. I have the largest group of public utilities in the state of Oregon, and these are ratepayers that are way at the end of the distribution grid. They don't have much political traction. They don't get much attention, but they're totally dependent on uninterrupted, affordable distribution of electric power. I got a lot of people shipping chips and logs and all kinds of stuff up and down the Columbia River, so river levels are really critical to the folks in my district. Transportation, flood control, navigation are all really critical issues. And we seem to have come out of a period where there was an intense desire by some people to make fish the organizing principle of Western civilization. And Senator Dukes has been a powerful spokesman for fishermen from her district, which are her constituents. But, you know, you got a bigger constituency base if you take this job. So I need to hear from you. How are you going to avoid making fish the overriding concern and balance the natural resource uses in a multiple-use way with a particular eye to Oregon's economic advantage, and that's low-cost hydropower?
Madam Chair, Senator Farioli, I wish I had an answer for that. And when I've been on the council for a while, maybe I will have. When the governor and I sat down and he offered me the job, I said to him, for 18 years I have represented one portion of the state. And every time I sat down at the table, those were the people that I was elected to represent. I will now represent Oregon. And to which he replied, right answer. I have been to your part of the state, but not often. And I am already making plans to travel to other parts of the state to meet with electric folks, to meet with tribes, to meet with watershed folks, to try to understand what the needs are, because I have always believed in the concept of one Oregon, and I really would like us to get to one river where we're all a piece of that river. Your people feel the same way about the issues that you've enunciated that the folks at the mouth of the river feel on fishery issues, that you're at the end of the line, that you're the last one that's consulted. And I know that feeling, and it's not a good feeling. You don't feel included at all. So, Senator, I hope you will, when the session is over, and I try to make arrangements to come to your area, I hope you will bring some of those people so that we can sit down and talk with them. This is a battle, if you will, because sometimes it has been a battle, but a discussion that has gone on for a lot of years over power and fish and dams and solar and wind power and conservation and all the rest of that, and I don't have the answers. I have a long way to grow on this council, and I'm looking forward to it.
Madam Chairman, I think you have every potential to make that journey, and I hope that at the end of this legislative session, after we've seen some of your work, that when you do come to the district, I won't have to personally guarantee your safe return.
I hope so, too.
As I have with some other members.
Further questions?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. People are really tired of fighting. I agree with you. The battles have been protracted and pointless. We seem to always return to the zero point. And now, on Monday, we heard that the governor's willing to reignite a litigatory strategy and on the biological opinion and potentially embroil Oregon in a lawsuit about the 2004 biological opinion, which in point of fact releases a stranglehold on cattle ranching, grazing, irrigation, hydroelectric power generation, and a whole bunch of other issues that directly and dramatically affect rural economies and public power users. I'm really concerned that that risky move that the governor's proposing may have serious unintended consequences. So I guess the question I have for you is, if the governor wants to go in that direction and asks for your counsel, which he may not do, what would you tell him?
Madam Chair, Senator, it's an interesting process that has already begun, and I don't know if you have seen the briefing paper. And if you have not, we will make sure that you have it. In fact, I have it in front of me before the end of the day, but clearly, since I brought a copy, you can have this when we're finished here. There are 6 points in particular that the governor is making about the biological opinion that was recently released. But the first thing he did was to say, I want to negotiate this. I want to find a solution. I would prefer not to go to the courts. And in that respect, his top staff have already met with federal agencies and have scheduled a couple of more meetings with federal agencies. I thought the first meeting went very well. There is discussion, and it's give and take on both sides. The governor has been very clear that the courts are a last solution for him, and he would prefer not to go there. So I don't believe from anything that I have heard thus far that he is trying to harm or diminish anyone. Certainly, all of his top advisors who deal with the particular issues and the folks that you've just been talking about are at the table and are advising him as to how to keep the folks that they consider customers, how to keep them whole and how to work with them and show them that there are benefits for all of them in this. I'm not an expert on what all is going on here, but I can tell you that all of the players at this point have someone at the table, and I believe the table is going to become broader very soon.
Madam Chairman, an observation and another question.
Senator Farrioli.
I would just offer this observation. The governor's 6 points are the same 6 points Oregon Trout raises. And so the question for me is, what's the correlation there? That bothers me. If I'm wrong, I'd like somebody to advise me. But I need to know that there is some acceptance of the idea that the objections that we raise ought to also be based on good public policy and a scientific issue. So, Senator, Madam Chairman, if I might, I know you know the difference between junk science and good science. We heard a lot of junk science over the course of the salmon plan development, and we heard some good science. What do you think about that? How are you going to make the definitions and distinctions in your own mind between junk science and good science? And how's that going to drive public policy in Oregon?
Madam Chair, Senator Farrioli, I think we all decide that for ourselves. You can have two scientists with an awful lot of letters after their names sitting side by side telling you completely different things. And I think for each of us, we decide and use a variety of screens to make the decision as to which one is good science and which one is junk science. For myself, I expect that it is more than, gee, I like that answer, so therefore it must be good science. I've never been happy with that answer, and so I believe that it needs to be based on studies that are recent. One of the reasons that I fought so hard to get some things done on fisheries in Oregon was because I wanted us to be able to do studies here in Oregon. I got tired. You and I would regularly hear about, well, this isn't the case or this won't work because of a study that was done 15 years ago in British Columbia. And that would frustrate me. I wanted to know what would work in Oregon. And so those are just some of the screens that I put on when I listen to people and try to make that decision. But I think it's different for every one of us.
Senator Farrielly.
One final question and then an observation. We watched the controversy over Summer Spill in the last year boil up and boil over and end up spending or causing cost shifting in the tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of dollars to ratepayers for really marginal or not very measurable or no measurable benefit to fish. And, you know, the folks fractured along the same lines that they always do in terms of whether we were for it or against it. BPA has spent roughly $3 billion of ratepayer dollars. You know, they're not federal dollars. They're our dollars that our Oregonians and Washingtonians and Idahoans and Montanans pay for public power in trying to mitigate for fish and running the Habitat and Hatchery program. At one point in time, we had an estimation of $35,000 per fish. And a lot of folks think that that's an awful lot of money for virtually a very small outcome. How are you going to create the expectation of measurable outcomes from the programs that you are going to spend money on as a result of your membership in the Bonneville or the Powell County Council?
Madam Chair, Senator, I'm really glad you asked that because one of the frustrations I have had for many years is that Bonneville, not that they spend the money, although we can talk about the amounts of money that are spent. But I, several years ago, I called and asked for an accounting of the programs that they funded, the grants that they handed out, and could get nothing. They had nothing to offer. They are now doing some measuring and accountability. But since I've not been there and I've not sat in the committees, I can't tell you for sure. But from what I'm hearing, it's not yet adequate. Nowhere near adequate, and that's something I intend to work on when I get there, because it is really important to me that you account for the money that you're spending and that you show through some monitoring and assessment that you're getting results for it. I don't ever want to see the headline that we saw years ago in the Oregonian that said Bonneville had spent, in those days I think it was $3 million on fish and hadn't gotten a dime for it. That should never happen, any more than I would want to see the legislature in that kind of a headline. You're right. It is ratepayer money. It's money that's coming out of the pockets of a lot of people, and many of them can hardly afford to pay their electric or gas bills. And, you know, here we are. So it's been an issue for me for a long time, and I welcome the opportunity to finally get to work on it.
Madam Chairman, an observation.
Senator Farrielly.
There's no one on this committee or in this body that you haven't viscerally and vocally disagreed with at times.
Maybe not Jason.
Well, that made you coming. And I am absolutely certain that you will viscerally and vocally disagree with the governor at times. And I'm counting on you to do that when that happens. I hope that he will listen to your counsel, because it's wise counsel. Madam Chairman, I find this candidate to be excellently well qualified for this position. I'll be supporting her.
Great. Thank you, Senator Farrielly. Any other questions or comments? Senator Ringo.
Thank you. Senator Dukes, the fish runs have improved a little bit over the last 3 or 4 years. Actually, they've improved substantially, but they're still a fraction of the historic levels. And I'm wondering whether you think the goal should be to maintain the current levels or to continue to try to increase the natural stocks flowing through the Columbia.
Madam Chair, Senator Ringo, I rarely settle for the status quo. I always believe you ought to reach for the stars. And so in this case, I don't think it's stars that we're reaching for. I think that improvements are possible. However, the vast majority of the improvements that we've seen thus far are because of good ocean conditions. And I'm starting to hear some little bits and pieces that lead me to believe that we may be on the beginning of the track back to in the other direction. I believe that the watershed improvements that we've made will help us even when ocean conditions turn, because it's cyclical, we know they will. I think that a number of the things we've done will help us get through that. And actually the discussions we've had on wild salmon versus hatchery salmon, or just hatchery salmon specifically, and how we treat them in the hatcheries and what we do and how we do it, I think all of those are giving us an improved fish out in the river. But no, I think we keep going. I don't believe Oregonians ever want trophy fish or museum fish that where you can go stand on the bank of the river and say, I saw one. I think we demand a lot more than that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mayor Shields.
I have two questions, and the first one, I guess, has a long form and a short form. And I'll set the context for the question by saying that I've often said to Senator Ferrioli, when he complains that it takes him about a day to drive across his district, that I enjoy jogging across my district in about a half an hour. And what that underscores is the vast difference between the districts. I think that it wouldn't probably come as a great surprise to Senator Ferrioli that we arrive at some different points on even what a small outcome might be, to use your words earlier, Senator, relative to fish and the number of fish that might survive because of a larger summer spill and so on. I guess the short form of the question then is, you know, how do you keep somebody like Senator Ferrioli and Senator Shields both happy at the same time? Because, you know, the differences in our districts and the differences in the constituencies that we have. But that question isn't fair either. The real issue is that, along with Senator Ferrioli, I did have the privilege of joining the River Governance Council this last year, and I find that a place where all of us get educated, whether from Montana, Idaho, Washington, or Oregon, around these issues. And so my question of you is, can we get some kind of commitment out of you to come and join us at the River Governance Council, sometimes literally, because I think that the interaction between the two of those might be very beneficial. I don't know if you can get others to join you, but I think there should be more interaction there. Does that make any sense to you?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, it does indeed. And yes, absolutely. I would be disappointed if I wasn't invited to come back. It's a good group. I have long felt that there was more of a disconnect, too much of a disconnect, between the council and other groups like it at that level and the legislatures. It's as though, well, they do federal issues and we do state issues, and so therefore never the twain shall meet. And that doesn't make any sense to me. I believe that the bigger the table, the better the solution. And I should forewarn both of you that I don't believe that it's ever possible to keep everyone happy. And that is not my intention in going onto the council. And so you can both feel free, and any of the rest of you, to call me and tell me what I did wrong, because you're not going to be happy with what the council does all of the time. There are will be at least three new members to the council, and I believe that may change some of the dynamic as we go forward. But no, that's why I have already talked to legislators in rural parts of the state about coming to their districts and sort of walking and seeing and hearing from their constituents. That connection needs to remain, and I hope to have a lot of those discussions with groups like that council.
The other question I have, Madam Chair, may seem like a silly one, but I think it's an important question. A phone number where we can get a hold of the then former senator when we need to get a hold of you relative to the business. Have you got an office set up, or do you have some new numbers, or do you have a number you're willing to share with us to make sure that we can...
Considering the fact that we're on the Internet, I'm not going to give you my home phone number.
That's probably true. Good point.
However, I think most of you have it, and that one, in the moment, in the transition period, that one works as well as any, and I don't have the council number with me. Some of you may know Che Mortimer, who is staff to the Oregon Council office, and there is an office at 6th and Taylor in Portland. I'll be there at least a couple of days a week trying to come up to speed, but Che is like all good legislative staff as well, which she used to be, and that is she can always find her member when she needs to.
Yeah. Well, just be sure to give us all those numbers,
all right.
Would you? Because I'm really committed to this thing of keeping in touch with you around the issues that are of importance to all of us.
That's great.
Thank you.
Senator Shields, anybody else? Okay.
Madam Chairman, one other comment if
yes.
I may. Before we rush to this judgment,
yeah.
And there may be folks in the audience wishing to testify as well.
I just want to point out that your predecessor, former president of the Senate, former majority leader of the Senate, former senator, former member of the House, often disagreed viscerally and vocally with this governor. And his counsel, in my opinion, was wise counsel. And very often, in my opinion, he was right. And his good offices are something that we could do well to acknowledge. I think we owe him a debt of gratitude for his service on the Power Planning Council. And I thank him for those services. And I think Oregonians owe him and others who are willing to serve in this capacity a debt of gratitude. And I hope this appointment is not intended to silence dissent. I think if that was the intent, there's going to be some folks disappointed with the outcome. But the point is, Madam Chairman, I just wanted to take the moment to acknowledge the service of her predecessor, which I thought was in the best interest of all Oregonians.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Many of us enjoyed working with our former Senate President, Senator Durfler, and we look forward to the governor finding him something else to do so he won't run for the legislature again and cause us great trouble.
Madam Chairman, that statement alone may have just kicked off a campaign.
And I'm also confident that Senator Dukes, when she gets to the council, that if she disagrees with someone, my sense is that she has not been afraid to say so. But Senator Dukes, you may wish to respond to that.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to comment to Senator Farioli. I have already had lunch with Senator Durfler, and we had a good conversation. And he has represented Oregon for many years in a lot of different capacities. I doubt very much that he's finished, and I certainly hope not. Someone with that depth of experience has a lot more to give.
Okay, anything else? Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience wishing to testify? Don't go far, Senator Dukes. We're going to need you for the next matter. Okay. With that, we'll close the public hearing and open a work session on the governor's appointment to the Pacific Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Planning Council.
I'm sure I move the appointment.
Senator Farioli has moved the appointment of Senator Dukes to the Northwest Power and Planning Council, that it be sent to the floor with a be confirmed recommendation. Any further discussion? Thank you, Senator Lingle, for joining us. With that, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Aye.
Senator Mingo?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Farioli?
Aye.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Senator Shields, would you be willing to carry this appointment?
I would be delighted.
Great. Okay. With that, we will open a work session on SCR2, and I would ask our committee administrator to give us a little background on this resolution.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Concurrent Resolution 2 honors the achievements, volunteerism, and service of Mildred Berkey Davey to the people of Tillamook County.
Thank you. Ms. Davey could not be here today. Senator Dukes, do you wish to come up and testify? Is there anyone else in the audience? Representative Boone, come on up.
Thank
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Again, Joan Duke, State Senator from District 16, and with me is Representative Deborah Boone. We represent Tillamook County. And the resolution you have before you is probably long overdue. Mildred Davey is known and beloved in Tillamook County, and if you read the resolution, you'll see a lot of the reasons. Mildred is in her 90s. She is also in her 40-somethth year of hosting a radio show on KTIL Radio in Tillamook. She does a mean interview, I have to tell you, because I've been before her a few times. She's a wonderful human being. She gives and gives and gives to the community. She's... I don't have the resolution in front of me, and I don't want to read it to you. You can read for yourselves and see all of the things that she has given to this community. She attends just about everything, and you can go through the community. She taught, so they had Mildred in school. They knew Mildred at church. They knew Mildred. They listened to her every day on the radio. She is just an icon in that community. And while she is still... And I'm still going strong, we wanted to make sure that we had a chance to truly honor her, and thus the resolution.
Great. Representative Boone.
Hi. For the record, Deborah Boone, House District 32, which is the upper left coast of our state. And I couldn't have said it better. Mildred is an institution in Tillamook. When I was running for my seat in the campaign, she called me and said, I'd like to interview you. And I thought, okay. And I said, how long shall I schedule? And she said, it takes about a half an hour. And I thought, oh, my God. So I get in there, 5 minutes of talking, and she'll go, and now we'll hear from, and she'll play some 1940s song.
Yeah.
And then you sit back and listen, and you're not sure what to do, or if you're finished or what. And then I was getting up, and then you said, no, you're not finished yet. And she runs the gamut. She could meet you, Senator Shields, or you, Senator Farrell, or any of you up there. And 5 minutes later, she knows who you are, and who you know, and what you do, and what you've done, and what you don't want her to know. She's just wonderful. All of Tillamook loves her, and this is something that we're very happy to do. And I'm so glad that Senator Dukes is doing this as her last swan song, maybe? Anyway, one of her last bills, and we're trying to put it on a very fast track so that we can have her be designated and have this go through by the time, I think it's the 30th of this month, the Chamber of Commerce in Tillamook is having the Citizen of the Year Awards, and she will be there with her entourage. So,
Thank you.
One thing you might note in the resolution, and this has to be unique, when the new owners bought KTIL Radio and they needed to, and there's an AM and an FM, and they needed to re-letter them, something that I don't well understand, but apparently west of the something or other in the United States, you get the first letter is K. The other three letters are MBD for Mildred Davey. They literally named the radio station after her. That's how long she's been there, and that's how loved she is.
Thank you. Senator Atkinson.
Representative Boone, is this the first time you have testified as a certified representative before the Oregon State Senate?
It is.
Welcome.
Congratulations. I shouldn't say that just yet. You're not finished with me. You're treating me so kindly.
We look forward to having you many more times.
Thank you.
Anything else? Great. I'll close the hearing, open the work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 2.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Concurrent Resolution 2 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Atkinson would move Senate Concurrent Resolution to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Aye.
Senator Ringo?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferriola?
Aye.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes aye. Motion passes, and we would ask that Senator Dukes carry this resolution.
Madam Great. Chair, point of order.
Senator Atkinson.
How do you intend to call the roll? I'm either first because of my name, or first because of my age, or I always stand in the back for pictures because I'm tall. But I just noticed that Ferrioli's there, and so I'm just, you know.
Well, obviously the vice chair and chair are last. I'm happy to have discussions when we're in recess, if you want to discuss this matter further. When there are non-controversial issues, I would hope that we don't need to call the roll, but today I'm just sort of practicing.
Was it controversial?
No, I just said I'm just sort of practicing today.
Right.
I need to get kind of warmed up. When you get to be my age, you have to sort of... I'm not telling. You have to get sort of warmed up and get used to things.
Did you miss me all summer, Senator?
I'm sorry? But before you go, Senator Ringo, and since the resolution has passed and Senator Dukes is going to carry it, we have one more item of business before we let our audience go. And I would open a work session for the purpose of considering requests for the introduction of committee bills. Madam Administrator.
Well, we have a series of three measures, Madam Chair, the first of which is LC number 1330. In summary, LC 1330 amends ORS 243.726 by enumerating specific criteria to be considered by the arbitrator in reaching a final decision on a contract, including such factors as wage and hour comparisons to living standards and cost of living in other large cities on the West Coast, et cetera.
Thank you.
The second of our three measures for consideration is LC number 1331. In summary, that excludes certain public safety officers from the statutory definition of supervisory employee, and that's for purposes of collective bargaining law. The third of our three measures for consideration would expand the statutory definition of employment relations to include safety issues and staffing levels. Thank you.
Thank you, Committee. I would ask for your support to introduce these as committee bills. This is my quest to get members' names off of bills and have them be committee bills or bills with no name on them, so I'm certainly welcoming any bill drafts that you may have if you don't wish to have your name on it. So, any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Thank you, Senator Atkinson, for...
Madam Chairman, there is some discussion. The question is, if you could please explain the quest.
Thank you. Several sessions ago, I believe it was in 95, we have yet to track the date down. Both the Senate and the House approved a rule that would... basically, it prohibited any members' names from being on bills, so they just became Senate Bill 810 or Senate Bill 300 or House Bill 3333 at the request, for example, of a constituent or an organization or at the request of no one. And I just think that's the route we need to go, and I'm going to be encouraging my members to introduce their bills as committee bills.
Madam Chairman,
folks are free to do whatever they want.
We just adopted rules in the Senate.
That's correct.
Which required the bills to be introduced at the request of.
That's correct.
So how does this quest to remove at the request of conform with the Senate rules that we've adopted?
It totally conforms with the Senate rules because they are at the request of a committee.
These bills that were pre-session filed, who were they requested by?
Individual, which bills that were pre-session filed.
Have these bills been...
No, we are filing them now. This is simply what you all did last session and the session before and the session before. They simply become committee bills.
Okay. Madam Chairman, when you say you all, do you mean the jointly run session where 15 members and 15 members got together and adopted the rules?
Well, I mean, for the last, since I've been here since 1993, we've been allowing bills to be introduced as committee bills,
mm-hmm.
and we've had numerous bills doing that. I could be wrong. I see Senator Dukes in the, but I think I'm correct.
Okay. I just, Madam Chairman, I know there are some committee bills. I know there are many more that are clearly identified as member bills. Is it your belief that most of the bills filed by the Senate in this session will be committee bills?
Mr. Vice Chair, I have no sense of how people are filing bills. That's totally up to each individual. These particular bills, because of the subject matter, will not be probably be coming in front of this committee. But, you know, people can do however they wish. However they wish to file bills, they can.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. I would move that we introduce LC 1330, 1331, and 1332 as committee bills. Do I need to call the roll, Senator Atkinson? Okay. Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none. So ordered. Thank you. Any further business to come before the committee? Thank you very much. I do see Nancy Garcia-Ram in the audience. She is the governor's staff person in charge of executive appointments, so we'll be seeing her quite frequently. Welcome. We look forward to working with you. And with that, we will adjourn the committee. Thank you all very much. That's okay.